Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
I want to chat about this hosepipe hotline.
We're providing a hotline because we're not asking people to confront people. We don't want to cause any neighbourhood disputes here. So people can contact us and we will follow up with individuals. And look, normally, once people understand the ask and the importance of the ask to conserve water for really essential uses, they'll work with us and there's no further action required.
So that's Margaret Attridge. She's the head of water operations at Ishgairin, and she was talking to Anton here in breakfast a little earlier this morning about this water conservation order. It comes into force on Thursday for six counties for 6 weeks. It's 1800 278 278. That's the number you have to call if you want to report Mary and John next door. Dee is on the line. Dee, will you be calling that hotline?
No, I won't. I think, like, you know, I think these measures, like, are a bit, it's a bit stark. There's a 5K fine, which I think is really bizarre. But
Penalties but and offences of up to €5,000 if you breach it. Like, they're pretty stringent.
They're very stringent. I mean, I couldn't believe when I heard that. Like, that's absolutely nuts, I think. But I mean, we do need to look at our water situation because, you know, we're in climate breakdown and we're going to have more and more heat waves, and, you know, and governments are doing precious little really to kind of address that side of it. So I think it's a micro problem on a macro level, like, and the macro level is huge. So, but I'm trying to conserve as in, you know, using water that I use to prepare food and stuff, and having less showers and doing all that kind of stuff. And water butts are dry, so you can't do that. So, but I wouldn't report anybody. But I did. I was saying to the researcher that I did use my take out the hose last night, and just the potted plants around that were just dying. But then I hope nobody will report me either.
You hope nobody has called the number on you. I know.
Yeah,
you're
Andrea Gilligan that I do this.
Yeah, I don't want to tell you you're safe enough till Thursday in case Ishgairin's listening to us.
Yeah.
But look, I suppose, you know, in the same breath we're talking about this, it's for Kildare, Meath, Wexford, Wicklow, Tipperary, South Dublin as well, and in place till the 26th of August. And just to be clear, I mean, the ban on the whole, it's for a hosepipe in the first instance, right? And it's for water in your garden, cleaning your car, filling paddling pools, and people out power hosing the whole house, you know, like nut stuff.
Yeah.
People don't need to be at that.
There's no need for half that when we're in a drought situation. But you see people doing it, like, so I suppose, you know, there is. I still wouldn't report anybody. I just wouldn't.
No, well, I mean, Dee going around with the watering can for the few pots, you know, that's not a €5,000 offence. But, you know, if you have the paddling pool and your power hose in the car in the front of the house, Dee, that'll be a different story.
That's a whole other story. Well, that's true. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. But I won't be reporting anybody anyway.
You wouldn't, yeah. But it's an interesting concept, you know. And like, I suppose we have something similar on public transport where there's a text line and people can report in, you know, emergency situations that happen. But I'm interested in the whole kind of the psychology behind it, you know. And as a nation, would we actually pick up the phone and call the hotline?
Yeah, well, I've done it in animal cruelty cases and stuff like that. I think that's different. But I think there's a whole, like, historical thing of being a Sleevine and shopping people out and all that. I mean, which, you know, is part of our history. But I just find it very hard to pick up a phone and say my neighbour is doing this or that. I don't know.
We want to hear from listeners.
Even if it was a paddling pool.
I know. And, like, the weather's good. And I can totally understand. People don't want to be complaining when the weather's so great. It's 087 1400 106. John is with us as well, Dee. How do you feel about the hosepipe hotline, John?
Oh, I think it's brilliant. But I think they should give an award, a reward for reporting, you know.
Ah, stop. Shit. The more people you report, the more money you get, a reward.
The more money you get. All right. I do understand. I'm here in Galway. So on the west coast of Ireland, you have the Shannon, you have the Corrib, you have all the big lakes. And then on the east coast where you have all the people, you don't have half the supply of water. So I think that the water situation in Ireland is a disaster, because the infrastructure, they have been putting in the extra water supplies, but it's not been maintained for the last 100 years. Now, I get off this, I'm going off of the subject now, but regarding water, years ago, I knew, well, it's still going on, I had an acquaintance, and he was unemployed, but he was power washing cars at the back of his house for garages all week on the side. In his backyard, he might do two or three cars a day. There's people with big swimming pools. There's loads of things. So, you know, if people realised the water we get out of the tap, there's an awful lot of work goes into getting that cleaned, filtered. It's not like get rainwater. When I was in Melbourne, lots of the houses, their eave chutes were connected to big tanks because their water charges were so high. They collected every drop of water they could in the tanks in the garden, and they used that water for the plants
and the garden and all of that.
And
yeah,
even for the toilet.
And do you see much water wastage where you are, John? Like, are you noticing people? And the weather's been brilliant.
Not really. Most people don't waste water, but the people that do, like, because we don't have water meters on the houses here in Ireland. I could leave my tap on 24/7, and it wouldn't.
That's a whole other debacle. If we were to start asking people, do they want water charges again? You remember
that? I think there should be in certain cases. I don't think I'm against water charges, but if every house in the country had a meter on it, we'd know the people that were. I know my ex-boss had a 22 meter swimming pool in the back of his house. Now he can fill that and empty it every day if he wants to, because there's no water meter on his house. You know, we can't control who's wasting the water.
That's the problem. You know? But now, I suppose, if you spot somebody with this...
The garden, I've the binoculars out now, but I'm here in Galway, so we don't have this bad. But I was actually thinking of driving up and cruising around the other counties to see could I catch anyone.
Stop, John. So you're out with the binoculars trying to spot people to call the hosepipe hotline on them?
Yeah.
Stop. John, you'll make no friends with that. I know you are. I hope you are. Yeah, it's good.
I'm out in Salt Hill twice a day. I'm retired now, so I go to Salt Hill at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I get out in the water, cool myself down. And then I come home and I have a nice meal and a glass of wine. And then I go out again in the evening to cool myself down before I go to bed, because I can't handle the heat. It's just too much for me.
So, I know. Well, don't give out about it too much now, because we've probably only about a week or so of it left. A listener tells me people will be reporting their neighbours who have bigger cars than them, better looking partners, and who have better power washers, says this texter. Another listener tells me people love informing on one another. It gives them a sense of moral superiority. Sure, it was the same during COVID. Niall is on the line. Niall, how do you, like, do we need this hosepipe hotline? We'd have to assume we do when Ish Garen's bringing it in.
Well, Andrea, I think it's more a case of addressing the symptom rather than the cause. I mean, look at the amount of rain that fell in the first 2 months of the year. We live in a country where the rain, it was so relentless, it felt like living in the Amazon rainforest without the trees and the heat. But it's really a seat of the pants crisis management. I mean, for the network to go into panic mode now, it's just crazy, really.
Would you report your neighbour?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I know. I
couldn't do it. I mean, we're told to conserve water and everything else.
I wonder how many calls they'll get.
I really don't know. It's like something out of the communist era, back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, or the worst part of the pandemic, picking up the phone and ringing on the neighbour next door. It's bonkers, really. Mm. I mean, it's a death and symptom rather than the cause, really. I think it's a long time. It's a long time past the time we stop this whack-a-mole and look at solutions rather than catching the phone, ringing the neighbour, report the neighbour because the water system isn't fit for purpose.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's people they've been well warned, you know, since yesterday evening about this conservation order and that it's going to be in six of the counties and it's from Thursday and where it is. And so people have been given ample warning about this.
But I've
no doubt we'll have people emailing in now on Thursday when this kicks in from Dublin and Tipperary and Kildare and Meath and Wexford and Wicklow, where the ban's in place, to tell us about people that are breaching.
I'm sure it'll happen. I'm sure it is. But I just, the other thing is, I mean, the government are giving grants for solar panels. So John mentioned a minute ago about Melbourne and what goes on there, harvesting water. Has anyone ever mentioned the possibility of grants for rainwater harvesting so households can catch their own water? I mean, we're told that we're going to expect a lot more of this kind of weather over the coming years.
That's right.
So why can't we plan accordingly for us? Why not offer some kind of grant for households or apartment blocks? So now's the time to go doing it. Get ahead of the curve for once, and rather than this reactive thing. Proactive rather than reactive. You know?
You're right about that, that maybe take a more proactive approach. What about you, Kate? How do you feel about this today?
Hi, Andrea. I'm not exercised either way by it, I suppose, but I can see that, you know, there's a sliding scale of kind of acceptable behaviour. I've previously like called the dog warden on my neighbour, or I've reported them for things that I think are morally or, you know, offensive or the issue. But I would agree with what that past caller said about incentives for rainwater collection, for example. You know, we get plenty of rain in other times of the year, and you know, you can easily place things on down water pipes and things to collect water to help. But I can see it from for the good of the nation, I suppose. I wouldn't like to be turning on the tap to try and give my children a bath, and I can't do that because of this water ban or you know, for fresh drinking water or for cooking for the kids. And if that means that I have to tell on my neighbour that they can't be washing their car or power washing their drive, I'm okay with that.
Do you see many people doing it at the moment when we're
I don't know. No, I mean, I live in rural Wexford, so I'd have to be spying in their gardens. I suppose it's different if you live maybe on an estate or somewhere, but No, I don't. I don't know. It's a very difficult time. I can see it from like the government's point of view, or from whoever's doing this. How else are they going to enforce this? Like, they could bring out the hosepipe ban, but I don't see how else they could actually manage it. And you know, we have lots of conversation about people bringing in measures and then there's no enforcement, for example. Whereas in this case, they've brought in a measure and they've brought in a very clear way of monitoring it and enforcing it. So I think they're trying to be practical, they're trying to be proactive, and they're trying to really make people aware. And I think it's worked because, I mean, it's all over the national, you know, radio today, and people are maybe going to think twice about
talking
it. I mean, it's probably have an effect.
Yeah, and to be fair to Ishkeran, like, as I said, you know, to Niall a few moments ago, they're giving people lots of notice and warning about this. But like, Kate, you are in one of the counties affected by this. You know, are you concerned about water or water shortages or?
Well, I would be
house?
Concerned if it affects my house. I mean, if I don't have to wash my car, I mean, that's like,
sure,
I'm
what
okay
about
with
it,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't like for me to have a clean, shiny car and for somebody else in another county to be affected, you know, not being able to boil their kettle, or, you know, an older person, for example, not being able to fill their kettle or told that they can't do that at a certain time. So I think we have to kind of look at it as the greater good of everybody, and not just your specifics in your household on that day.
And you're not like John mentioned, somebody he knows who's a 22-metre swimming pool out the back of the house or anything?
No, no, I don't know anyone with swimming pools around near me. There's not. But I mean, like, there is guys who go around power washing, and that's what they do for a living. So I don't
washing
know how
windows as well.
Yeah, I'm not
should
sure
it be all right for a few weeks?
Do or where was it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Brendan Kelly, psychiatrist, Trinity College Dublin. Brendan's with us here on the line as well, because it opens up a kind of a wider conversation, doesn't it, Brendan, about, you know, actually picking up the phone and reporting the neighbour next door?
It does. It opens up a conversation really about civic responsibility. And some people, like we heard there, genuinely view reporting as helping the community to enforce a rule that has been agreed by many people, or certainly has put into place. So there is that genuine fairness argument. But we do react a lot to injustice, and we get very agitated if we feel there's a free rider, someone who is benefiting, you know, with the hose pipe or whatever, while everyone else is bearing the cost. So it taps into some of these fundamental psychological processes, as well, of course, as a legacy of bitterness against certain neighbours, people who are just waiting for a reason to report them for
something.
Yeah,
they're waiting for them to take out the power washer. It struck me this morning, Brendan, when I was listening to Ishkeran, to Margaret Attridge chatting to Anton earlier, you know, it reminded me of, do you remember the COVID hotline that came in?
Yes, I do. And look, in fairness to Ishka Éireann, I think what they're doing is very sensible with the ban and trying to manage this emergency situation as best as possible. Obviously, there are longer term structural problems that maybe, you know, need to be looked at. But, you know, raising the profile of this measure in this way will definitely help and help people to be more aware moment to moment. Because, you know, the most common reason for violating these bans is pure habit and just not thinking about what you're doing.
Really?
So it's not always sort of evil or freeloading or, you know, what's called reactance, which is when someone hears a rule and immediately decides to break it just for that reason. It's not all that. Habit and not thinking is easily the biggest reason why people are likely to break this ban.
As a society, Brendan, are we, and I have to be careful now with the word that I probably choose here, maybe snitch might be too strong, but are we a society of reporters or rule enforcers? Like, will many call this line?
Yes, they will. As humans, we are exquisitely sensitive to any perceived injustice. We would prefer to be done out of stuff that we have rather than see someone get ahead of us. So the minute we think there is unfairness, somebody taking advantage or somebody not obeying a rule that we're obeying, we will try to take action. And look, there's a couple of ways to do that. You could say it to the neighbour if you wanted. You could say, do you remember, you know, you're not supposed to be having the hose pipe on? Or you could take the more anonymous route of phoning the hotline. I do think we will do both, but it's a very human thing, Andrea, as opposed to necessarily an Irish thing.
Listener here tells me, Brendan, I have a neighbour who didn't like where my bins were, so they anonymously called the council. I then got a threatening, stressful letter without them even investigating. I sent them pictures and they apologised. Will this water hotline not become a rogue call line for neighbourhood issues? Will Ishka Éireann investigate or take the call as truth and carry out maybe with a letter in response? Like, that is a good point. You know, there's two sides to the story and the truth will be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, there are two sides to the story, but I have full confidence that Ishka Éireann will respond to these things proportionately. And really, the main impact of this is to change people's behaviour upstream rather than catch people out. And I do think this will change people's behaviour and prevent people using water thoughtlessly or without consideration. And I've no doubt Ishka Éireann will have an appropriate and moderate response that's not necessarily catastrophic or accusatory in every case.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about the hosepipe hotline since 7 o'clock. Shane Beattie's in 6 o'clock this morning here on News Talk. So if you're in Dublin, Tipperary, Kildare, Meath, Wexford or Wicklow, you can't say you didn't know about it. It kicks in on the on Thursday. It's going to be in place until Wednesday, the 26th of August. And the fines will range from somewhere in the region of about €125 to €5,000. If you do want to maybe anonymously tell us about some of the things you've witnessed, though, if you don't want to ring the hotline, you can drop us an email here in News Talk. It's lunchtime live at newstalk.com. That is, of course, as always, my thanks to Brendan Kelly, Niall John D. and Kate as well. Thanks a million for getting in touch with us. Now, a little earlier at the start of the programme, we were talking about car chaos near beaches.
The problem was, I suppose, here that the car park, when the tide is high, the tide goes into the car park, and a couple of the cars actually got stuck in the tide. So that means that there's less space for cars. So, you know, cars go down, they discover that they can't park, and they have to turn around and come back again. So it's, you know, it is an issue. The guards were there trying to direct the traffic. But it happens a couple of days a year and then it's finished again. So it's one of those things that people just need to, I suppose, have patience to look and not abandon your car, you know, in a driveway.
Can I just say to everyone parking in Bethesda today, remember, you could be the one, or somebody in your car could be the one that needs access to that emergency service, or that emergency service's vehicle. You could be responsible for impeding your own rescue. And the emergency personnel and our lifeguards at our lifeguarded waterways are working so hard to keep us all safe. And the emergency services are trying to get in and get us back out to hospital as quickly as we can. And we don't want to impede our own rescue. So please, bear that in mind. If we look at recently at the weekend down in Wexford, we had a multi-personnel emergency. There were 6 people required to be taken from the water and transported to hospital. We had multi-agency approach. We had our guards, our National Ambulance Services, our Coast Guard. And all of them, you know, they had to work together. And thank God there was nothing happened during the weekend. They were able to get in and get out. But if there was a blockage there, that would have been a disaster.
That's Joanne Walsh there from Water Safety Ireland, and Councillor Marie Casserly in Sligo telling us about roads being blocked with illegal parking at local beaches. Listener says in Salthill and Galway, people have started parking their cars very early in the morning on the prom with all their gear and food in it. They then get the bus home and bring the whole family out later in the day on the bus. It's the smartest thing to do. Because it means you're actually putting your towels in the sun lounger. It's nearly a to doing that at a pool or a hotel in Spain. Traffic is fine in Salthill. And listener tells me Wexford County Council have fields designated for parking along the coast. No charge to park there. Maybe other local authorities should do the same. An ambulance or fire brigade needs at least 2.5 metres to pass. Maybe some signage to remind people of this might be helpful. And a camper van owner has got in touch with us to tell us that they're taxpayers just like the rest of us. They pay their motor tax, their insurance, all the rest, and have the same rights as anyone to park in a parking spot. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.